What a joy it is tonight to have this goodly number that we could come together at the close of the day to study upon the Word of God. Upon this first day of the week, I can't think of a better way to end our day than together as the people of God studying His Word. And before we begin the work week, to think on those things that are of the utmost importance, things of eternal nature. If you're visiting with us tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. We encourage you to take your Bible that you may study along with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and upon your faith in Christ, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Have every sin blotted out, as is taught in Mark 16 and verse 16. If you take your Bible this evening and turn with me to the book of Exodus and the 28th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 31, and we'll read through verse 36. And we'll note that Moses is talking about priestly garments at this particular time. And notice he said in verse 31, "You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord." It's interesting to look out through history and to see where different individuals wore expensive and elaborate clothing. Kings, queens, noblemen, and entertainers have worn things that just dazzle you. However, none were as brilliant as the robe the high priest wore in Old Testament days. Woven into the robes were bells that chimed as the high priest would walk by. Now, someone may ask, were these bells just meaningless adornment that the priest wore? But the answer to that is no. They serve several purposes. First, if you look in verse 35, when Aaron would go into the holy place, the bell would sound upon his entrance, and it would sound upon his departure. And notice that this would happen so that he would not be struck dead. Then if you take your Bible, think about the fact these bells would also serve other purposes when the high priest would minister to the people. The bell would call people to worship. And it would also ring in the joy of the gospel dispensation. Today we need to hear the gospel of God as the chime of bells that ring loud and clear. They should suggest to me and to you the gladness of the gospel, the warning if I don't obey God, and the joy and the triumph of the Word of God. This evening we want to listen to the chime of the gospel bells, and we will do this by looking back at the priestly garments that had bells woven in. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is that the bells were made of gold. It's interesting that these bells that were on the garment of the high priest were costly, that they were made of pure gold. The Israelites were to spare no cost in the making of the garment. It was a costly garment. And that is a picture today of what God was willing to do for our salvation. When we hear the chime of the gospel bell, we're reminded of what Jesus said in John 3:16, when he said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever thought that upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus gave his life and his death was costly? God sacrificed his only begotten Son so that we might have the hope of eternal life. And when we look at the cross, we need to hear the gospel bell. We need to hear the tones of mercy, the tones of love, and the tones of compassion. Every time we look at the cross, we better understand how great a sacrifice was given on our behalf. He was the perfect sacrifice. The Hebrew writer has something to say about this. in the Hebrew letter and the ninth chapter. Notice, if you will, what the Hebrew writer said. Look, if you will, beginning at verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, underscore that, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Then look in the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter at verse 10. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I want you to think, by that will we've been sanctified. That payment that God made upon Calvary by the giving of His Son was the perfect sacrifice. And God pity the day we don't look at the cross and see the cost involved in our salvation and hear the tone of love, mercy, and compassion. But that brings us to a second thought in our study. And that is, when the Jews heard the clash of those bells, just what did it bring to their mind? And I want you to recognize it would bring several things to their mind. First, when the Jews heard the bells ring on the priest's robe, they knew it was an invitation to worship. In that day, they understood they had to worship according to the law of Moses. They were under a different covenant than we are. They lived under a different dispensation than we do. And yet at the same time, when the priest would walk by and the bells would ring, they knew that was a call to give glory to the God of heaven. You know, in our day and time, we need to remember that we need to give glory to God in worship in spirit and truth. I'm fearful that we're living in an age where worship has become a mockery, where there are fog machines and there are plays and there are dances and everything under the living sun is called worship, and there's little reverence to the God of heaven. I want us to understand tonight that all worship must come in the way that God has directed. We must follow the pattern that God has given us so that our worship be in spirit and in truth. You know, in old times, when people didn't have watches or things to keep time, or the time was not kept in an orderly manner, old church buildings would have bells and they would ring the bell to call people to the meeting house. Today, we need to hear the gospel bell. We sing the song, ring it out. What are we to ring out? The gospel that invites men to come to Jesus. And throughout God's Word, we're invited to come to Jesus. Through all the trials, troubles, and temptations, the gospel rings out, come. You remember what Jesus had to say in the book of Matthew and the 11th chapter? When Jesus is speaking on that occasion, He gives the great invitation. And so often we overlook the statement that Jesus made when He said, "Come to Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice the invitation is to come to Jesus. And it's a call we need to answer. In Isaiah 1:18, you remember Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together." I want us to recognize tonight that we need to come to reason. We need to come to worship. We need to come to Jesus. All the bride, which is the church, says come. The Spirit says come. And Jesus says come, as we read in the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter. But secondly, not only do we hear the bell of invitation, we hear the bell of warning. When the Jews heard the clash and ring of the bells, it was a warning to make their lives right. In that day and time, if you sinned, you had to bring the best of your flock to the priest. And you had to lay your hands upon the animal and then slit the throat. And then the priest would offer up a sacrifice to God. You had to make your life right. And you know, in our day and time, that truth still rings. Today we need to hear the bell of warning that our life needs to be made right. Not through some animal sacrifice we bring, but through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God upon the cross that we read about just a moment ago. The cross of Christ, where the Lamb of God, the Son of God, was offered up once for all. And today we need to make our life right. We need to become living sacrifices. We need to be living sacrifices unto the God of heaven. In Mark 16, 16, you'll remember that Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." In Romans 6, 3 and 4, that we are baptized into the death of Christ and we're raised up to walk a new life, not living contrary to the will of God, but now living according to His will. You know, my friend, and even after I become a child of God, when I fall short, if I have truly godly sorrow and truly repent of my sins, the Bible says if I confess my sin in 1 John 1, 9, that God is faithful and just to forgive me. And the bell should clank in our mind that we need God's forgiveness. That we need to make our life right while we have time. In Hebrews 2, 3, the Bible raises the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And may I say to you tonight, escape you will not. Oh, I look out tonight and I'm fearful that we have some who do not see the value of their soul. And I would tonight that you would listen to me as I plead with you. When preachers and teachers plead with you to make your life right, that is a gospel bell. We've got some young men and young ladies that need to be baptized into Christ. They know the truth of God. They understand what is right and wrong. They know that they're in sin and stand condemned, and yet they've never put on Christ. We've got some who say they're Christians, but they're way off the reservation. And they need to come back to God and make their life whole again. Sometimes I'm fearful that we do not take seriously the fact that we need to live according to the pattern God has given us. We need to live as a living sacrifice, offering up spiritual sacrifices, as Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5. Oh, I would that I could get that into your heart. You know, the reason I preach is not for a check. Oh, I'm thankful that the elders here pay me and that I'm able to make my living as a gospel preacher. But I'll tell you the reason I preach is I'm concerned about your soul and my soul, and I want to preach the Word of God so that we can be made right with God. Because wouldn't it be sad to lose your soul because you would not listen to the bells of warning? To hear someone plead with you to make your life right, to go to the graveyard and realize one day you'll be there. Those are bells of warning. And to ignore those bells means that we will burn in hell forever because one would not listen to God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved from my sins and be at rest with God in heaven. I beg you, listen to the bells that warn you to make your life right. Sometimes when you preach, you look out and you see some, and they just seem like they're so far away. And your heart breaks because you want to know, what should I say to wake them up, that they would heed the gospel bell that warns them to make their life right. Oh, this may be the last sermon I ever preach. But I pray I preach in such a way that your blood is not on my hands upon the judgment day. But there's a third reason why those bells would ring. When the Jews heard the bells on the priest's garments, it announced unto them the possibility of pardon of sin. They were aware that through the high priest, they could go to God and have their sins forgiven. And today, we can hear the gospel bells of joy in that we too can go through our high priest and have our sins forgiven. Do you realize that, my friend, you are a priest? In 1 Peter 2:9, we are a royal priesthood. Tonight, you don't have to come up to a black box in the front and confess your sin to the elders or to me, but you are a priest that can go to the high priest, which is Jesus Christ, and you can make your life right with God. Look in your Bible again in the Hebrew letter, and notice this time the 8th chapter. And notice the new priestly service beginning in verse 1. Now, this is the main point. I like that. This is the main point of the things we're saying. we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Here is Jesus, and he's seated at the right hand of God, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also has something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who would offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Look at who our mediator is. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. He being God understands God's holiness. And he who lived as a man understands our weaknesses and frailties. And therefore, he is able to make intercession and to be a mediator on our behalf. Isn't that beautiful? Look down in Hebrews chapter 9 and notice what he says beginning at verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Look, my friend, Jesus was our sacrifice, but he's also our high priest. We can turn to him with our heartaches and sins, and we can go through him to the Father, and he can petition on our behalf. What joy to be forgiven. What joy to have the hope of heaven. Oh, I would that the chime of the bell would ring in our mind of the joy of being a child of God. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to think about a fourth thing. Look in your Bible in the book of Revelation for just a moment and the 11th chapter. In Revelation chapter 11, look at the voice that calls in verse 12. The voice that says, "Come up hither." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. Listen to that voice that calls us as a bell, saying, "Don't go down to hell, but come up hither." Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Revelation and the 21st chapter. In Revelation 21, look at the voice that you hear in verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Look at that statement. That voice, that bell that rings, come up. Be a child of God. Be with God. Look in Revelation 22 and look at verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely." Oh, listen to the heavenly bells that call us. That call us to go to heaven. That call us to be right with God. We hear the bell of invitation, the bell of warning, the bell of joy. But listen to the heavenly bells that call us. To the voices that call us to come up in. Many years ago in the colonial states, they had what was called a passing bell. When someone died in a village, the sexton, not Jackie Sexton, but the one who took care of the graveyard, would sound the bell just as often as the man lived years. So if he lived 10 years, he would sound the bell 10 years, 30 years, 30 times, 40 years, 40 times. But when the sound is in the tower, the people would stand solemn and they would say, someone is dead. Who is it? And you know, my friend, for us, this passing bell will soon sound. And gone will be man from family, from the church, and from their last opportunity of salvation. There are people who are just a heartbeat away from being lost for eternity. Even though heaven rings, come up here. But for the Christian, the safest thing he can do is die. What is it the writer says in the Revelation letter? Blessed are they who die in the Lord. Heaven awaits those who listen to the gospel bells and prepare themselves for the great day when we're called in death. If the death bell tolled for you this evening, I want to know something, my friend. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to meet Him in the judgment? I would I had the ability to get men and women to hear the plea of God, to see the high priest who wants to petition on our behalf. And yet so many people never take seriously the wonderful invitation of God. Well, I may never live to preach another sermon. You may never hear another sermon. But I want to raise a question to you. If this was the last sermon you heard, and this was the last plea ever uttered on your behalf to make your life right, can you say in the day of judgment, I'm prepared to meet my Lord? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel call, the gospel invitation, the bell rings as together we stand and sing.